a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Oh, okay. First of all, my name is Dan Lederman, state senator from Dakota Dunes. I represent District 16, and I serve as the assistant majority leader for the state Senate. And wrapping up this week, we've had a lot of significant bills come out of the Senate. The first set of bills that we had were relating to domestic abuse, and the results of the bills were the results of a task force that was formed last year and that had met over the summer. The bills that came out were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Senate Bill 2 delayed the arrest for parents with outstanding warrants who have minor children. So if you had a situation where a household had a child in the home and there was only one parent or both parents were going to be taken to jail, there was a delayed implementation so that that child could be cared for. And what that sought to do is to try and keep the amount of children that have to go into DSS. Senate Bill 3 said that a judge can review all the related parts of a case before ruling. 4 gave a respondent of another state's protection order the opportunity to know about it. 5 was a tagging of protection orders as stalking instead of domestic abuse, or vice versa. 6 was for the crime of committing domestic abuse in front of a minor, and that saw a lot of debate on the floor, not because of the merits of the bill, but just because of a lot of the personal feelings of members of our Senate. They weighed in on Senate Bill 6. Obviously, domestic abuse is a very serious crime, and there was a lot of debate about making that crime, elevating that crime by adding that extra charge of doing it in front of children. So it came out of the Senate. The last bill was Senate Bill 7, which expands who is protected from domestic abuse, from sharing households and blood relationships to broader definitions of relationships. And that kind of builds upon looking at true relationships between people, not just living situations. So there would be a difference in domestic abuse from somebody who is, let's say, sharing a dorm room, as opposed if they were in a significant intimate relationship. We also passed out Senate Bill 154, which was could be called Jolene's bill or Jolene's. It came from a situation about children who are victims of sexual abuse, and what it did was it was a short term. It created a task force to bring experts together and to look at domestic or to look at sexual abuse on a deeper level and figure out the best way to help the children that are affected by sex abuse. We also discussed and deferred action on Senate Bill 169, which is the non-meandering waters bill. This bill is being brought to the Senate as a result of the South Dakota Supreme Court case, Parks v. Cooper, where the courts asked the legislature to weigh in and decide how water resources are to be used in public interest. So a meandered lake, just to kind of expound a little bit on that bill, a meander lake is a body of water, not streams, but a body of water located within the meander line shown on plats made by the Federal Bureau of Land Management. And water levels have increased in parts of South Dakota, and private lakes have grown into larger bodies of water that the public, they like to use for hunting, either waterfowl or fishing. They can use as long as it adjoins public property, including road and section lines. So if you're out hunting or fishing and you see a section line and you see a large body of water, by state law, you can actually traverse the property line, the section line, which is a public right-of-way, to get to that body of water. But 169 clarifies which of these waters are accessible to the public. So it goes into detail to define which waters are public and which ones are private. Results of the meeting between Farm Bureau, Game Fish and Parks, towns and townships, the governor's office, a non-meandered group, private individuals who are concerned about property rights and legislators. So it was a bipartisan effort to bring the bill down to the floor of the Senate. After a lot of debate and a few amendments that had been proposed, it was deferred until Tuesday the following week. So we will be picking that bill up again next week and discussing it more. Obviously, it's a very important issue, and it affects a great deal of people. It affects property rights and affects sportsmen. So the Senate's not taking it lightly. We're giving it a full review on the floor. The last bill that came out of the Senate that was a significant piece of legislation that we've been working on for a couple years is the Social Host Bill. That's Senate Bill 163. 163, I got to hear it in committee, and what it does is it seeks to tamp down on adults who provide alcohol to children for parties. So it prohibits a social host from allowing underage consumption on that host's premises, and it creates a misdemeanor for the violation. There was a lot of discussion about liabilities and how it would affect the current law, and after the bill was brought last year, the group that was bringing the bill came back to the legislature with a bill that narrowed the liabilities to the people who would be charged as a social host. So it added language that included knowingly, the word knowingly, to a social host definition. So just by example, if you had had a party at your house and you were restricting the use of alcohol, yet alcohol was consumed by some minors at your party, and there was an accident that resulted from that, you would not be held liable as a social host because you did not know that there was alcohol being served. So that bill, I think, was a big improvement over last year's. I did not support it last year. I supported this year. That was the same with other members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. Came down to the floor this week, and it was decided. It was voted and passed out of the Senate. So that will be going over to the House. With that, I will pass it off to State Representative Kristen Consett.
Thank you, Senator. I am Kristen Consett, District 32. I am a House Majority Whip and serve as Vice Chair of Commerce and Energy and also on State Affairs Committee. We're in our fourth week here in Pierre. We've been very busy. Last week was the first week of the end of dropping of the bills for all representatives and senators, and as well as departments and agencies. Crossover day is coming over on the 25th, so we are 6 days out of having all the bills have to cross over. That meaning the committees right now are very much in the focus mode of getting their job done. We are going up to 2 to 2.5 hours in those committees to fully vet all the bills that are coming through and able to get them over to from the House to the Senate. So right now our focus is really on committee hearings and public testimony, which is always an important part of the process. We've started budget discussions within our group and also with referring obviously back to the governor's budget address. But as you know, there are two sides to that story. There is the legislative branch and then there is the executive branch. And so we're in the midst of the discussions there on those issues. The projections have come out, and the revenue is down from what was brought out initially in the governor's budget address. So we're starting to work through some of those issues on our end. Obviously, appropriations has been in full swing a few days, actually, before we even started our first day here in the House and the Senate. And so they're doing their hearings, their House hearings, their Senate hearings, and then their joint hearings, going through all of the different agencies and departments that have to come in. And they're working very hard and diligently to make sure that the revenues and the money that the state of South Dakota brings in and has is spent very fiscally and conservatively. I wanted a quick reference before I turn it over to Representative Cronin, the domestic abuse bills that were referenced by Senator. I was on the domestic abuse committee this summer and traveled throughout the state. We did hearings in four different towns Aberdeen, Sioux Falls, Yankton, and Rapid City, where we let the public come in and we heard from judges, attorneys, people that were affected by it, be it it had happened to them or a family member, or they had, they had survived it. And I felt that it was very well attended, and the citizens of the state of South Dakota really took that seriously. So as the senator referenced, the bills that have been brought out were very thoughtfully crafted, keeping in mind the issues that would that everybody involved had to clear up some of the issues that they had with statutes. With that, I will turn it over to Representative Cronin.
Thank you. My apologies for showing up a few minutes late. I don't really have a lot more to add other than to restate that revenues are down in the estimate of about $4 million as of January. So we'll have our last update when we adopt the revenue numbers will be late February, possibly early March, if we can push it off to get more accurate numbers. It just depends on when the appropriations folks want to have that hearing. But right now we're down a little bit. Depending on how that works out, that obviously plays into the governor's budget and any spenders or bleeders that we have within the legislature. So just to give you a few facts on that. Other than that, I think we'll just open up for questions at this point.
For the two representatives, wanted to follow up on the discussion about the domestic abuse bills, which the pattern in those for the past couple of years has been the same, that the Senate has passed something, and the House has been resistant in particular to the expanding the coverage to both dating relationships and to include same-sex couples in that. And I know there's a lot of effort made this year to try to find some language that would satisfy the House, and I was wondering what your thoughts are on whether that happened this year and whether the House is going to approve this language this year or be resistant again.
Thank you for the question. You know, I would agree with you that there has always, in the past few years, been some discourse that has happened and come down in the verbiage. But I think if you listen to the hearings that we had, the committee hearings that we had this summer, you'll find that our approach, and specifically Chairwoman Soholt, we wanted to make sure that in the verbiage, abuse is abuse is abuse. It doesn't matter who your partner is or if it's a dating, but what we wanted to do was make sure that every South Dakotan is covered by these bills that we brought out. And if you'll reference some of the bills, it's not about getting into specific definitions of inclusion or exclusion where we had to define a certain type of relationship. It's about coverage for all of the citizens of the state of South Dakota.
I think she covered everything I could have answered pretty well.
Just to clarify on that point, you feel that these bills in current or similar language are likely to pass the House this year?
Yes.
Nate with SDPB. Just a quick question. This is kind of for any one of you. What you guys have a stance on net metering legislation?
Well, I have seen it twice in the Commerce Committee. I think both sides are probably getting a little closer. Not to say that they're all the way there yet. I haven't heard much about the bills. I'm not on that committee anymore. I have talked to a couple folks, proponents of it. I think it comes down to finding that perfect percentage or perfect number. Because, it's hard to retail something back out to a company that is buying it wholesale or retail it out to someone who is buying it wholesale and make that same comparison. There's two different price points there. I think the impact across the state is probably not as great as the discussions have been here, But it's something that's probably coming down the road, and we need to keep watching it. But I'm sure there's at some point we're going to get to the middle on that. As of right now, I haven't seen the bill yet. I know it's coming, and I would say they're closer than they were the last 2 years. Every year they get a little more, you know, closer and closer and closer, and that's kind of how things work around here. As you could obviously tell by the last week, we've passed some bills that haven't passed out ever of the House. So I think, you know, everything takes time, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it right. So.
For Senator Lederman, on the subject of issues where there's been House-Senate disagreement in the past, the House just the other day passed a texting ban, but one that would override some of the more stringent local bans in the state. The Senate has traditionally been more supportive of a statewide texting ban. How do you feel from your discussions that this House texting ban is going to be received in the Senate side?
That's a good question. I think when we look at the fact that both chambers are bringing bills that address the same issue, I don't see it so much as opposing sides as both sides having just a different mechanism to solve the problem. Obviously, distracted driving that's caused by use of cell phones is an issue in the state that we want to address. The difference is the Senate side has the Senate bill, which I have not seen yet I've looked at, but I have not fully digested. I think is, correct me if I'm wrong, makes it a class one misdemeanor, or makes it a primary offense where you could actually pull somebody over, whereas the House side makes it a secondary offense, so a person could not be pulled over, but if they were known to be texting while driving, that could be added on. So I don't see it so much as a difference of identifying the problem as it is how to solve the problem. Now, I know there's some procedure as far as which bill passes first, and that may play out in the end as far as which bill is adopted if both bills pass. It certainly wouldn't rule out, if they were amended, maybe combining them into a conference committee to look at them both together. There's a lot of different things that could play out because it is before crossover day. So there's a lot of different variables that could happen with both bills. But with that said, I believe that there is a problem, and I think that we need to do something. And I do want to take a look at both of the bills, and I'm hoping that we get a chance to vote on them on the floor of the Senate.
Can I chime in on that? I know some of you were in the committee. And then also heard me on the House floor. I have this is the first statewide texting ban I've ever supported, and the ban has been in front of my committee every year I've been here. And I've always had the problem with the primary offense, being that, you know, nobody can tell. I can't tell, you know, what the gentleman in the back of the room there is doing right now with his right hand, and nobody's moving. But in a vehicle, it's pretty hard to tell. So to be able to pull someone over because you think they're doing something, if somebody is swerving on the road, pull them over. If you ask them, they're texting. If you ask me, I'll probably tell you, because I don't want any trouble. But the main focus of this bill is the ban. We have a texting ban in South Dakota. Also with that, there will be uniformity, because as I go from city to city, there's no signage that tells me what's going on. I'm not made aware of the laws, and I think that's a duty that should be there. If the municipalities want this greater authority, then they need to get out and post their ordinance, I suppose, which I think would cost a lot of money and probably nobody'd read it. But if you had a statewide texting ban, everybody knows it's against the law. just like the seatbelts. The third component of that bill, which I think is probably the most important part, is the education from the Department of Public Safety, an education campaign, whether it be in the schools, whether it be billboards. My daughter just made it to the state FCCLA competition on a texting, why texting is bad. That's where you change culture. It was testified to in committee by the chief of police in Rapid City that we need a cultural change. And education is the best way to do that because our kids are smart, okay? There's ways for personal people to put a hindrance on their phones or on their children's phones when their vehicle's moving. But there's also a component here where our kids are smart, and if we educate and educate and educate, that's how you solve the problem, not by writing tickets, not by pulling people over. It's by education and just awareness. So,
if I could also chime in quickly, to piggyback off of Representative's comments, in a small way, we are like a petri dish here, and there was a culture change. The House of Representatives are notoriously known for coming against the texting ban. And it's been years and years, I think, of education and listening to the citizens of the state of South Dakota that has changed the way that we think about it. And as Representative Cronin testified yesterday, it's been a long, hard road for him to get to this point. But through education and coming together, and I think the secondary offense really has brought us all around. I've always been in favor of a texting ban, but I have to say with Speaker Gosch and Representative Cronin coming on board and fully advocating for this has truly shown how we can change our culture.
To follow up on that quickly, do you think this is going to end up in a conference committee over the secondary primary issue or something to that, or the preempt, not preempt issue?
I would say all things are still on the table on that. You know as well as anybody how things work down here. It depends. It depends on how well we can work it on the Senate side.
And I'm just going to ask on one question real quick on the social host bill, 163. Senator Lederman, with this you'd said that knowing, the whole keyword knowingly, giving minors alcohol. How is are the cops going to have to prove that a person did know by like looking at text messages, or how is that like something that, because I mean if I say one thing like no, I didn't know about it, maybe I did, you know, it could be maybe a hard thing to prove.
That's a good question, and luckily one of the proponents of the bill that spoke on the Senate floor was the former chief of police for Rapid City, and that same question was posed to him, and his response was, well, just like any crime scene or place where they've been called for a disturbance, they start interviewing the people that are involved, and a lot of it would probably come from the personal accounts of the individuals that were at the party. But I think we all know who the bad actors are in our communities. It's not something that's well hidden. I think we know when these type of things happen, where they're happening at, and this just gives the tools to the police to be able to actually take action on it. We heard some great testimony in committee and some very heart-wrenching testimony about parents that have lost their children because of drinking and driving after being served alcohol by adults. And I think that it may be hard to prove in some situations, but I would say for the most part, it'll be pretty obvious.
Are there any questions from callers on the line? That is.